Oh my lord, it happened, Jeff.
Oh, what? What happened? Tell me.
Avengers Endgame trailer. We know what the title is. We know what the title of Avengers is.
We've entered the endgame now.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's what we're talking about tonight. We'll be talking about that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Hey, buddy, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, man, it's the best day.
Today's the best day?
It was the best day.
The dropping of the trailer, because we haven't gotten
the dropping of the trailer was the best day.
Yeah, when the day this came out was amazing. I'm sad that we haven't been able to get together sooner to talk about this, but we're going to do it now. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us. So what are your general thoughts on this trailer, man?
Initial thoughts, I lost my damn mind.
Yeah.
The day that it came out, I actually, I watched it, and I had a department-wide meeting at work. Like, all of IT was in this meeting, and I was presenting something, and I could not. Azure is a cloud. Avengers in, like...
Yeah.
It was hard. It was hard to focus on anything all day.
It overshadows you, this trailer. For me, it's this entire trailer is about Tony on that ship.
Yeah.
Tony recording a message for Pepper Potts. It just like sucks you into the world, into the character, into like the heart of the story in a way that I just wasn't expecting. I should have known better, but my thinking is, oh, this is the culmination of this 10 years of storytelling. It's going to be flashy and bangy and have all kinds of, you know, explosions in it. But no, it was such a small, isolated story, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be sad. It's going to be heart-wrenching the entire time. And that's exactly what happened in the first. Like, that part with Tony lasted a minute. That was a solid minute of this two-minute trailer.
Well, that's the thing.
And
I don't think we've seen anything from past the, like, 15-minute mark of this movie.
Maybe.
I mean, sure, maybe. Like, obviously, that, like, shot of Hawkeye's Ronin, could be from further out or something, but like, I think this is just how the movie starts, and that's amazing to me that you can have such a big film that we're just now getting a trailer for, and just now finding the name out this late in the game, and like, we still don't know what the major thrust of the movie is going to be.
Yep.
And I think they're holding it close to the chest on purpose, you know.
Oh yeah, they have to, just because like this, the events that happened in Avengers 3 in Infinity War were so just universe shattering. The cinematic universe was shattered, torn asunder, if you will, in half almost. And for them to just drop that bomb and then end the movie is like monumental and like, just destructive on a huge level.
Yeah.
So how do you follow that?
I don't know how much we've talked about it, but this is clearly, to me, this is the Empire Strikes Back of our time.
Yeah.
Infinity War, that is the Luke, I am your father. Like, the entire universe, half the universe disappearing.
Luke,
that,
I am your father, should have gone for the head. They're synonymous at this point.
Yeah. Oh man, so good, so good. What's the biggest thing you learned in this trailer that interests you?
Oh God, you know, there's a lot. There's a lot to focus on.
There is, and we'll go shot by shot for sure.
The imagery is. There's so much symbolism in there. You know what was really surprising is that it looks like Thor is in a cell. And it looks like he's really just depressed in a cell.
It looks like he's on the raft.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I don't know that that's right. I don't know that's where he is, but it looked like he was on the raft, which I don't know why he would be in a cell unless he just, like, went crazy after he failed. I don't know. I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, it looks like he's just sitting there chomping on the gilt.
Yeah. Yeah, and they all are. Everyone failed in one way or the other. And it led to this. Everyone refused to make the sacrifice that was necessary in a timely fashion to stop this world destroying event or whatever.
Timely fashion.
This movie's going to have a lot of time involved, I believe. What my biggest revelation is that Shuri's missing.
Yeah.
That is the one that we just didn't know. And the thing is, there's three people. They show three people that are missing. Tom Holland, Spider-Man, just to hit us in the feels. Again,
I don't want to go.
I don't want to go. It's so bad. and then we get Paul Rudd. We know that Ant-Man is still around. We just don't know where. We know where. They don't. But then Shuri's missing, and it makes me feel like she's either one of those two things. She's either disappeared or she's also doing something in secret.
Ooh, yeah, maybe.
It would be weird to me that they have her disappear and didn't show it. Like, I feel like that should have been shown if she's going to be gone.
Yeah, I mean, she's such a major player in the Black Panther side, like the Black Panther realm of this verse.
Right.
She's such a major player that she's one that you would think that they would show her going away.
Yeah. The other thing is, and this is not 100%, but the line where it says we've lost family and then it cuts to Ronan.
Oh God.
Clint Barton, yep, as Ronan. I'm assuming he lost his family, or at least a portion of his family, but I'm assuming all of it, because otherwise I think he would have stayed and taken care of his family. But like, he took a deal to stay out of things so that he could be there with his family, like after Civil, yep, War. And then because he's also got to be blaming himself because he took that deal and stayed out of things. He's got to be believing that like his family disappeared
because he wasn't there.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to take part and do his part to stop Thanos.
Yeah.
God.
That's incredible. Like, everyone in this story is going to be dealing with the horrible things that they feel like they've done, that they're responsible for. And, you know, the only person who seemed to look sort of comfortable, I thought, was Natasha. She looked upset to see Ronan in the state he was in, Clint Barton in the state he was in, but like, she didn't look nearly as broken as everyone else. And I feel like that's because she's used to the moral ambiguity of having made horrible choices. Like, yeah, she's a little more used to horrible things happening and having to see horrible things. And so everyone else looks completely destroyed.
Yeah, you know, I want to say, though, that at the minute 15 mark, when she's saying that Thanos did exactly what he set out to do, and he destroyed 50% of all life, like, she looks like she's having a really hard time reconciling that. Like, she's putting on a brave face, but it is cracking.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see that as much. To me, she sounded, and maybe it is the brave face, but to me, she sounded the most, I guess that's the thing. Normally, they all put on brave faces, and everyone else is so destroyed they can't. And maybe she's just a little stronger because of her experiences. Yeah. Either way you want to look at that, like, she just seems to be a little more together than the rest of the team that has been just torn asunder internally.
Yeah.
You want to get down to this shot-by-shot breakdown?
Oh, yeah, man.
All right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, first shot we get is a shot of Iron Man's face armor.
Sort of helmet.
His helmet, yeah.
It's about half of the helmet.
Well, here's the thing that I noticed, I'm noticing now, and I've noticed on the subsequent watches. At first, I thought that was just a lot of damage on the helmet from the battle with Thanos, but looking closer, it looks a little more like it was deconstructed, as if he's like trying to either work on it or working on a solution to the problem, maybe.
I think it's just he put together what was necessary, like the necessary systems, because, you know, it's the nanotech, so it looks like he put together the necessary parts for the helmet to kind of, you know, be a recorder in that moment.
Record the message. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, to me, it looks like he's... Yeah, I guess it is the nanotech suit, so that doesn't really make sense. But it looks like almost like he's working on it to me. Again, him recording this message, the line, "It's always you."
So heart wrenching.
When I fall asleep, I'll dream of you. It's always you. It's just so good.
And 21 seconds in, because you know he's like, he leans back, his food and water ran out 4 days ago, mm-hmm. which is Thor's fault, by the way, because he took the food.
That's right. I love that. I've seen a lot of memes going around of like shot side by side of Thor taking the food and then him talking about how there's no food left. Thor being a bad roommate again.
Yep. You know what's funny though? Before Civil War came out, like just over 2 years ago, well, almost 3 years ago at this point, Robert Downey Jr. tweeted, "Join Team Iron Man, like join hashtag Team Iron Man. We have snacks." Apparently that didn't work out.
That's amazing. Gorgeous shot.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to point out about that gorgeous shot of the ship in space, it looks a lot like a sparrow.
Right.
Like it's got that outline of a sparrow, and that holds some weight in like from maritime ventures. Like apparently sailors used to get tattoos of sparrows, because if you saw a sparrow on your voyage, then that means that your journey is almost over.
I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty rough. If that's the symbolism here, yep. But it also just looks like any old bird. I mean, it looks like a bird.
That looks exactly like a sparrow. the line that he gives though, that lines up with this perfectly though, is the part of the journey is the end.
Yeah. Really, really. I'm loving the beauty that they have maintained, the beauty of space. Like James Gunn directing Guardians, like gave them a blueprint for what space should look like. And it's just so gorgeous.
Yeah.
So gorgeous. So we get like a full minute almost. It's like 50 something seconds of him just talking to his helmet. And it's just like, that's a bold way to start what is probably going to be the biggest blockbuster of the year. A bold way to start that trailer. Very, yeah. Very bold. I love it so much.
But I mean, you've got to think about it. Like from a business standpoint, they're leaning on their biggest moneymaker for that full minute.
Sure.
Like it's absolutely makes sense. Like Tony Stark is the one that started it. RDJ has basically carried this entire verse on his shoulders for a little bit until, you know, everybody started getting more into the other characters too. But a lot of people, Tony Stark is their conduit into this universe. So he's carrying a lot of that weight.
That's absolutely true. The thing that it highlights to me is what Marvel's done with this decade of storytelling, and they have focused on the characters, and they're continuing to focus on the characters. A lesser franchise would have just shown things blowing up, but they had the wherewithal to just like start it slow, start it somber. And I'm sure, you know, that's the thing. The people that are going to go see this because of the blow 'em ups are going to, they're not going to care about the trailer right now. They're going to care about it a couple weeks before when they're showing these TV spots. And sure, they're going to release some trailers that are just like, boom, boom, pow, explosion, explosion. But that's for kind of the mass audience. But like, They've trained their audience to focus on the characters. And I love what Marvel's done with movies. I'm always hearing people complain about Marvel movies and how formulaic and how the franchise model that they're creating is kind of hurting other films. But like the movies themselves they've just done such a good job of focusing on character and building an audience that is truly invested in good storytelling. And I just can't wait, man. This movie looks awesome.
Yep. So right after Tony finishes his monologue and turns his helmet off, we get the shot, the heart-wrenching, the gut-wrenching shot of the logo, Marvel Studios, 10 mm-hmm. years, getting dusted.
Yep.
Turned to ash. Just, you know, to drive home the point that, like, the last thing they did was kill half of everybody.
Yeah, it's such a cruel... that when Avengers... I think it said, like, Avengers will return or something like that in the movie theater, and then it dusted at the end.
Yeah, right?
That was the cruelest thing. I watched them in multiple theaters, and every time, everyone, like, booed that moment.
Yep. I was sitting, like, in awe, in shock, when that came up, and yeah. Somebody a couple of seats down from me was just like, too soon.
That's, like, the best too soon joke. That's great.
Yep.
Okay, so after we get that... that the title of the studio, we're shown Thanos' armor, which eagle-eyed viewers will have caught from the first movie. There's a little shot of it, Thanos' armor, but now we get the full armor as a scarecrow.
Yeah, just sitting as a scarecrow in front of his little thatched roof cottage.
Looking out over a thankful universe.
Yep. And, you know, it's obvious Thanos is, or it's obviously Thanos walking through a field because he's a farmer now.
Yeah.
And, you see the gauntlet, but...
Which immediately reminds me of Gladiator.
Right?
A gladiator would walk through the field, yes. Touching the tops of the wheat, and it would, like, remind him of going home, and... this immediately reminded me of that. We should just
replace the music in this part so it's not like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but instead do, like, the Gladiator theme.
Yeah.
Where it's like... Absolutely
would absolutely work.
So, like, as he's walking by, kind of brushing things, it looks like he's... I don't know, his gait is a little weird. Like, he's kind of stumbling almost. And his gauntlet looks burned.
Yeah.
Like, very burned.
It was in at the end of Avengers Infinity War, you could see it was all burned out.
Yeah, it looked like it was just burned and fused to his hand from the look of it.
Yeah, I wonder, since it's still on, if it is fused to his hand.
He's just like, yep, this is my hand now.
And I also wonder if it still works. Like, does he still have all the stones in it? Is he still an all-powerful being? Like, these are questions I have.
Yeah, these are questions that are very important.
Did burning out the gauntlet, does that destroy the power of the stones? Did he, like, use up the Infinity Stone's power? And if so, should they be called Infinity Stones?
Because they were finite, if that's the case.
Yeah, I think that's clear.
Unfortunately, we don't get to see the stones, though. His hand doesn't turn enough to see them.
Which I think is intentional. I think we're not supposed to know what his power level is at this point. He's also apparently growing a crop of Audrey 2s. Anybody? Nobody?
No.
Little Shop of Horrors, the little monster plant.
Oh, okay.
Looks like that's what he's growing in his little garden.
Okay. Just chalked it up to alien vegetables.
No, yeah, that's what it is. I mean, that's what Audrey 2 was.
That's fair. A
mean green mother from outer space. And it was bad.
There's going to be at least one person that messages us to talk about how great that reference was. Man. And I really want you to cling to that person.
Thanks, Jeff. Just like, that person is not me. I am not the person who understands or cares about your Little Shop of Horrors reference.
I like Little Shop of Horrors, just
it's so good.
Not enough to reference it like that.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
It's great. It's so good. I know I'm not the only one, but I feel like I've shown it to a lot of people over the years that hadn't seen it, and they were like, I don't get it. I'm like, I don't understand how you don't understand this. This is so good.
How is this not the greatest thing ever?
So we get a shot next of the Avengers compound.
Yeah, the upstate New York facility.
Yeah, which I've seen pointed out online that it looks overgrown. a bit.
Does it?
Yeah, like the grass is not as well tended to as in most shots of this. It looks like it's in falling into disrepair, according to some online sources. I don't know. I don't know if I see it. I do see that the grass looks a little uneven or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, when, you know, the world has half the gardeners left.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all this is. It's not a thing about the Avengers stuff falling into disrepair. It's just that half the gardeners exist now.
So, yeah, like yeah. only half of the landscaping specialists exist in the world now.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know. That's a good point. but I don't know if that's true or if that's wishful thinking for a future storyline, which I'm still expecting a little bit, and I don't know. Now, based on this trailer, I don't think that's probably happening anymore. We've theorized a lot about there being a jump forward in time, and I don't know that this trailer.
Doesn't really give us that that kind of insight. We saw Thor, his hair was still super short.
Nothing in this trailer happens much later than like a week or two after, it seems like.
Yeah, that's the look of it. Other than the very end of it.
We don't know when that happens yet, but I feel like we need an extra spoiler alert because some internet sleuths did some work on the trailer to figure out what was going on with that Paul Rudd scene.
Oh, yeah?
The Ant-Man scene. Have you not heard all this theorizing?
I have not. I've been studying for my exam.
Okay, well, we're going to save it for the spoiler time.
Okay.
Because it is, if it's true, it is an extra, I don't think it was intended to be, maybe it was, you know, Marvel knows better than to put anything in their trailers that isn't supposed to be seen. So we'll talk about that in a spoiler section. so let's see what else we got here. We got a crying Captain America. Without his beard. So this has to be, I doubt he came home from a battle with Thanos and immediately shaved. Like, this isn't hours after. This is days after.
This beard got in the way. I have to get rid of it.
Yeah. Thor's great failure is not going for the head. Star-Lord's great failure is attacking Thanos when he shouldn't have, and slash not killing Gamora. They all had great failures. Ronan's great failure is not joining in the fight. Cap's great failure is for refusing to shave for months.
Yeah, that seems canon. That seems right.
Yeah, I'm glad to see his face. I loved the beard. I really did. But I'm glad to see Captain America's face.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks just, you know, it brings back that that good old Cap from the Winter Soldier. Especially since in this trailer he put on that stealth suit again.
Yeah. Yeah, he's back to his old suit.
Yeah, that stealth suit from the beginning of Winter Soldier is I like that suit like a lot. It's a nice, nice suit.
Yeah, man, it's a good suit.
So, let's see. After Cap is crying, we get Natasha saying that Thanos wiped out 50% of all life.
And she's like very upset.
Yeah. I mean, it's an upsetting thing to have to tell people.
And then we get, like I said, to me, which is the biggest shocking revelation of this trailer, Shuri is missing.
Yeah, I mean, it took me a couple of watches on the trailer to actually catch that. Because I was, you know, I was so focused on Scott Lang in the foreground and how Bruce Banner was reacting to that. And I was, you know, like, it doesn't make sense that Bruce Banner would be reacting to Scott Lang because they didn't ever meet.
Well, I think it was just him. They're cycling through, and I think it's just him reacting to everything. Just everyone. Yeah. Like, it's just probably, you know, it's like one of those little photo displays that you put on your desk and it changes photos every few seconds.
Yeah. It's like one of those frames, except it's people who are dead.
Yeah. And he's sitting there watching all these people that are missing, and he's going,
how big is the flash drive you plugged into this thing?
Yeah. The weight of it all is hitting him, you know?
Yeah.
Then we get a shot of a hangar, and I wonder, there's nothing notable to me about this hangar.
Well, it's the Avengers hangar.
Right. I know that, but...
And it's where, you know, Cap and everybody came in after Age of Ultron, and he almost said, you know, Avengers Assemble.
Okay, so it's the training room, or at least where, right, they where they talked about training. So that, okay, that is something more about that shot.
it might be in disrepair. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it is.
I can't really
it
tell.
Is the point of, I think if that's the case, the point is there's like all this construction equipment and things in the middle of the room. It seems like it's not
and there's being no people. Used
for its purpose. Yeah. That's I think the key. So, okay. So it seems like they're trying to drive home the idea that, everything is vacant.
We've got these big wide open spaces and nobody to put them in
or
put in them.
Then we get that shot of Thor we mentioned earlier. Thor apparently still has that eye.
Yeah, he does. I like that they're sticking with that. They're not like fixing it to where, you know, he said, "Oh, we changed the color and your fake eye."
Right. You can still tell that he is missing that. That's fun. I like that a lot. And then we find out the Nebula is actually on the ship, which is one thing I thought was strange, that he's floating through space, because we know that he was left there with the pilot. And at the first scene, it seemed like they were going to go with he was by himself. But I wonder how long he's been on that ship and how well he knows Nebula. Like, it'd be weird if Tony Stark and Nebula are, like, tight now.
Yeah. Well, I think that that Nebula is going to, you know, give him the rundown on Thanos and everything that Thanos has done. And, you know, he's going to have a lot more insight into his enemy, you know?
Yeah.
And assuming he survives the trip home, because he has to, he's going to have a lot more intel and be able to maybe, you know, rally everybody together and formulate a good plan.
Right. Absolutely. And Nebula, it puts her hand on his shoulder. At least it seems like that's what's going on. I don't know if that's weird editing, but it looks like Nebula is putting her hand on Tony's shoulder, which to me seems like they have a relationship. Like they've been on this thing a while.
Yeah. It looks kind of like a goodbye, you know, like touch your shoulder, like, you know, farewell. I'm out. Throw up them deuces.
Oh,
take, you know.
We were talking about the food being missing because of Thor earlier. He also took the escape pod.
Yeah, he did.
So that's the other thing.
Son of a bitch.
Thor is very responsible for Tony having no way out of this. Love it so much. Yep. And then probably one of the weightiest lines in the thing is we lost friends, we lost family, and then it cuts to Clint Barton as Ronan. Being a badass
with
the sword.
Wiping the blood off of his sword.
Yeah. Bunch of dead, you know, Yakuza or whatever on the ground.
Yeah. And he says, and Cap says, we lost a part of ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, as he pulls the hood off. And you know what? A lot of people had just kind of like poo-pooed Hawkeye, and like whenever you didn't see him in Infinity War, people were like, ah, no big loss, because, you know, he's not that helpful, he's got a fucking bow and arrow, who cares,
right?
But like his emotional weight in this scene, in this shot, even without even saying a word, is just so huge.
Yeah, like, Renner's killing
he's
it.
Got so much that he's just bringing to the table here without even talking.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm so scared that we're going to get a shot of, like, Natasha walking up to you know, the Barton family farm and open the door, and you're just going to see, like, an ash-covered room, ash floating in the room, he's just going to be sitting in the middle of it.
I think we'll definitely know that. Oh, man, that's rough. I don't think that's the case, because I think Natasha, in that scene, I think that's her finding him. I think he's on a mission, whatever mission he could take to do whatever he could do. And so, like, he may not be able to stop Thanos, but he can go, like, stop the Yakuza, whatever they're doing, you know? Like, so he's just, yeah. I think he's, like, on a war path. Maybe he has no solid mission, so he's just, like, gone back to S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever and looking for a mission. Or maybe he thinks he's on some sort of quest to stop Thanos, but I think this is Natasha going to him, and he's on some other kind of quest, and she's saying, hey, it's time for you to come in. We need your help. We have a plan to try to bring them all back.
Yeah.
To give him hope, but also to put him on the right mission. And I don't know, man.
I still think that he's probably going to be in this group of, you know, I lost everything because the bad people were allowed to live, so I'm going to kill the bad people. I think that that's the group that he's going to be a part of in this.
Sure. Absolutely. Next shot we have is Captain America saying this is the fight of our lives and looking down at his compass that has a picture of Peggy Carter in it.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love that Peggy Carter is in there. I find it a little disconcerting since he's been dating Sharon as far as we know.
If Sharon's even still around.
Right. No, see, that's what I was thinking. Like maybe when I saw that at first, I didn't see it up close. And I was wondering if that was a picture of Sharon at first or if it was a picture of Peggy. I couldn't tell from whatever screen I watched it on the first time. And I was, but now, I don't know. It just seems strange. Like if Sharon is or is not still around, it's just kind of weird to date your ex-girlfriend's niece or whatever.
Or grandniece or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. It's like an awkward thing. And I don't know if they've just dropped that storyline completely. I don't know what the deal is with her. Where Sharon's at.
And
so funny.
He closes... Well, that's the same compass that he was seen using in all the footage from the first Captain America movie.
Yeah. He puts like it on the dashboard while he's talking to her and crashes the plane, which I don't know if we've seen it since then. Have we?
I don't think so.
So I think my immediate mind went to, how did he get that off the bottom of the frozen ocean or whatever he was there
right?
from that great glacier? Did the people, I guess maybe the people that found him, especially if Coulson was there, we're like, I'm a big fan of his, and and Peggy Carter knows him. I better pick up this compass. That probably means something. I think it's kind of cool that he still has it.
Yeah,
very cool.
I don't know where it would have been because, like, you know, when you crash, things that aren't secured go places.
Yeah, and he just had it like sitting on the dashboard.
He just had it sitting on the dash. Like that hula girl is gone, sir.
Peggy Carter, hula girl.
I need that now. I need that dashboard ornament. Like that is Peggy Carter as a hula girl.
That is the best idea.
Hair fits that style perfectly.
Either an actual Peggy Carter, like in the red dress and everything, kind of bouncing around, or conversely, just that a mock-up of that stopwatch on a spring. That you can like put on your dashboard so you are Captain America. That's pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be our next round of merch, right? After we finish this glasses run.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be so good.
That's so funny. So after we get him closing the compass, I don't know what that's gonna signify, him closing the compass like that. Like maybe he's
it's
done
more,
with the past?
It's more about him looking at the compass, I think. I think it's him looking at the kind of love of his life that he was still in communication with up until the end and saying, you know, like, what does she mean to him? And I think the thing that she means most recently, at least, was that speech in Civil War about planting yourself like a tree.
Yeah, by the river of truth.
Yeah. Which is different, but I think he's just, I think at this point she represents sort of a bit of grit in his life. Like, I don't care that it's all over. I'm going to fight anyway. Like,
yeah, Peggy would have still fought.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight.
We're going to keep fighting.
Yeah. And then, Natasha, still blonde haired, says, this is going to work, Steve.
And he says, I know it is because I don't know what I'm going to do if it doesn't.
Oh, man. And the look
on his face, too.
The look on his face. That man is such a good actor. Like, he's bringing out every emotion in me possible.
Yeah. It's great. I'm so pumped about this movie. Yep. I can't believe it's coming so quick. Like, they've got me so spoiled for you know, things. I'm so spoiled. The fact that we're getting like three of these movies a year is just so amazing.
Yep.
I don't think I'm going to have, if they ever go back to just like not making this many movies that I want, like I'm going to be very upset about it.
Yeah. If they go back to one a year, I'm just going to riot.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start rioting.
Like, and the fact that one a year is even a thing is like a huge change from everything we knew before. Like the biggest like superhero franchise, the most recent superhero franchise is like the Dark Knight franchise. They came out with a movie like every 3 or 4 years. It's like insane that we're up to 3 a year. The speed they're coming out with these and the quality is amazing.
Yeah. They're like with the movie franchises that are, I don't want to say fledgling, but the ones that are kind of like, all right, let's put this one out and see if people like it, and then we'll make another one. Like, those are, you know, they're coming out every 2 years at most. Like, for instance, the Fantastic Beasts movie, first one came out 2 years ago, and then Crimes of Grindelwald came out this year. It's kind of like they're testing the waters on every single movie, and Marvel's just like, nah, we got this.
Yeah, like
dumping them out.
They're making decisions and sticking with them, which is an amazing thing to do, and to be making so many good decisions. It's really impressive. So then our title screen. There's a lot going on in this title screen.
First off,
we have the Avengers A reforming, coming together as if it has been destroyed and reforming itself, which is super, you know, interesting, given that we know that all of our characters just did the same. But it comes together, but it never fully forms, which it's still showing all the cracks.
Yeah.
In this. We also have this ring, which I think is supposed to be reminiscent of those sky rings from Infinity War.
Oh, you mean the space donuts?
Yeah, the space donuts. So we have an Avengers space donut in the background. And then of course we get our title, Endgame.
Yep. The ring though, to me,
mm-hmm.
with the way that it's shifting and kind of going along with the theory that there's going to be time travel involved, makes me think that this is a time portal type look. You know, especially with the light behind the A, like the A being backlit, kind of at a central point within the ring, and the light coming around everything like that.
Yeah.
And if you look like at the Avengers name, like that in the N and the G, it looks a lot like that could be some other something that looks like a place almost, kind of like a field.
What's interesting to me about it is it looks, if you look at like the G and the N, it looks like you can see the A from the A is continuing in the back of the N and the G. You see that?
Yeah.
Like the triangle continues. But inside the A, there's more going on, almost as if you're looking through a window to like an alternate reality.
Or maybe the past.
Or the past. Or something like that, which, yeah, so all that's, I don't know, man. There's so much going on. So much going on. Okay. So then we get, of course, our last scene. Hi, is anyone home? This is Scott Lang. We met a few years ago at the airport in Germany. Yeah. So this is a really fun, it's a great way to end the trailer because it shows that they're not going to be so dire the whole time.
Yeah. The look, like the way that he's standing where he's got his arms out and he's kind of half-ass goofy grinning, and he's just like, I know you know Ant-Man, I know you know that, like that shot I've seen on the internet all over, just like that's used to say like who you thought was gonna save everything in the Marvel universe, and it's got Captain Marvel looking all badass, and then it's like who's actually gonna do it, and then it's Scott Lang standing here looking like a damned idiot.
That's great.
I love that.
Coming out in April. In April.
April 20... let me find the calendar. 26th. April 26th. Now, originally it was announced that Avengers Endgame, or well, Avengers 4 at the time, was going to come out May 3rd. But now they said April, and they're doing the exact same thing that they had done on the last one, on Infinity War, where they bumped it up a week. It's actually coming out April 26th. And that's been confirmed by the posters that have been dropped, which have a very similar, you know, A being reconstructed.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to get into, we discussed every shot in the trailer now. Anything else you want to say before we go into like a spoiler discussion?
Nah, man, tell me your theories.
Well, this isn't my theory. This has been floating around the internet.
Okay.
And it took some like serious like enhancement. I don't even think you can really see it in the shot. So what do you think is going on in that last scene? He's at the door, right? That's what it makes it seem like. This is spoiler alert, by the way, because if this is true, it's pretty revealing of part of the plot. But if it's not, it may just not be. It may just be straight up bullshit. But I find it interesting. Are you looking at this? Look at the shot at 2:08. The big shot. Big shot of him waving.
Where he's waving.
Yeah, so you see him waving.
Oh, so, hold up. The wall behind that is the same wall where Thor is sitting.
You're right. Yep, that's a good catch. So that's not a prison cell. Okay, that's good to know. He is just in Avengers headquarters. Well, that
although there's a weird grate on that. There's a weird grate on that window there.
No. Right. Well, that thing, but only on one side, though. I don't think it's prison. It just has a bunch of office chairs in there. It looks like that's not a prison. It's Avengers Tower or Avengers compound. But here's what's interesting. So this looks like he's at the door, right? Like this.
It looks like he's at a front gate. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Captain America's ring doorbell or whatever. yep. But what? What has got people on the internet freaking out about it, you know, he says, is this old video? Because he thinks it's old video, and the joke in the trailer is supposed to be, the joke in the trailer is that it's not old video. You're an old man. You're not understanding this technology. But if you look at the footage in the top left-hand corner,
mm-hmm.
It says archive.
Yeah.
And then just to the left of that, a bunch of people did a bunch of enhancement, and it's a little unclear, but it looks like it says 1983.
What?
Yeah. So that's what's got a lot of people theorizing on the internet. That they played with the dialogue a little bit to be misleading. But the reason he asks, is this old footage? Is because they're watching footage from 1983, back when this was a Howard Stark facility. And we know that Ant-Man knows where this facility is, and this might be where he would come if he was trying to reach out to whoever's in charge back in 1983. Because he came here to fight Falcon, and Michael Douglas Ant-Man told him, Hank Pym told him, that this is
an old Stark facility.
This is an old Stark facility. This could be him going reaching out to Stark. He also knows that Ant-Man used to work, or a lot of Ant-Man stuff was stored here. So he might be going. He says, you know, Ant-Man, I know you know that. He might be reaching out to people in 1983 to try to find Hank Pym, or he might be trying to reach out to Howard Stark or whoever at this Stark facility in 1983. That's the theory that's bouncing around.
Oh, man, that's deep.
Right? That's pretty fun. So it's super hidden, but if you look in the top left-hand corner, you can kind of read 1983 archive. And so it looks like this is not the silly joke when he says, is this old footage? He's not just an old man being old man Cap. He's possibly not going, is this old footage because Ant-Man's disappeared and is dead? He's going, is this old footage because Ant-Man shouldn't even be alive in 1983?
Oh, man. Okay, so she said that's the front door, but then she didn't say anything else. I'm betting in the movie that she's going to say that's the front door in 1983.
Right. It's very possible this is like a package that they received from, like, who knows? Like, maybe they get, have you ever seen Back to the Future 3?
Yeah.
Or 2. It's actually at the end of 2. It's at the end of 2 and the beginning of 3. Marty McFly takes off in the on the DeLorean, and it a lightning strike happens, and his DeLorean disappears. And at that exact moment, a truck pulls up, and this man in a mysterious outfit gets out, and he walks up to Doc Brown. I love this scene so much. He walks up to Doc Brown, and he says, "I've got a package for you," and it's a little like ominous. And they're like, he's like, "What is it?" He's like, "I didn't think you'd even actually be here. We've got a betting pool going on." Oh,
yeah. No, that was the Western Union guy.
Yeah. So a Western Union employee comes to deliver a package. He's like, "I'm from Western Union. This package was sent to you. It was to, we were told to be here at this exact time on this exact date, but we were told to do that 200 years ago or whatever."
Yep.
And it turns out that Marty, when the whatever, he gets hit by lightning and he gets sent back to the old West, and he sends Doc a package from the future, from the past, so that Doc knows where he is. But I love it because this could be what they're getting. They could be getting a package sent from Hank Pym, or like from possibly Hank Pym. And, you know, it could be that this whole package, came through Peggy. That may be why he's looking at the watch. 'Cause like, what if Scott Lang goes into this facility, finds Peggy Carter, who we know was working with both Hank Pym and Howard Stark at this time period. They find out what's all's happening, and then they send a package to the future because they know that they can't deal with this problem until it happens, because they can't like mess with the time stream or something.
Oh my god. And then that would link up to why Hank Pym was watching Scott Lang so much.
And
that first movie, that's why he's so interested in him.
Oh,
like,
man.
Other than
just got chills thinking about that. That's awesome. Because it didn't make a lot of sense why he would like hire a guy who just tried to steal from him. Like, that didn't really make sense in that first movie. But it does if he's got video of him from 1983 being Ant-Man.
Oh my god.
I love it so much. I love it so much.
Oh my god.
Time travel is so good. Like, what if he just like they've been working on it, and like they don't want to mess up the time stream or don't want to like break the space-time continuum, so it's something that Peggy never told Cap. And what if we actually get like a video recording from Peggy to Cap, like telling him all this stuff, and we get like that emotional moment of like, "I had to hide this from you even when you came back." Maybe she knew he was coming back because Ant-Man told her. Like, ugh.
Oh man,
this could be amazing shit, man.
Oh, and then like
we're in rampant and she would territory, say, but
oh yeah, and then she would say something along the lines of like, "I wish I could be there when they get you out, because I can't wait to see you again," or anything like that.
Yeah, but then by the time she gets out, she's got Alzheimer's or whatever.
Oh man,
gah! Like, we get a 1983 Peggy Carter, like, talking to Cap. Like, that would be so amazing.
And then also, also Howard Stark, because he would not be dead at that time frame.
Right, exactly. So all we could get like this like cool super team up in the past between this could be this all these events could be what leads to the rift between Hank Pym and Howard Stark, because they were working together at that point. This all could lead to some of that stuff that caused the rifts in the beginning of Ant-Man. Mm. What year was that of Ant-Man? Do we know?
1990.
Okay, man. So it's shortly after. Maybe they'd fit. Maybe like Howard Stark and Peggy think that they have to leave a message, and then Hank Pym's like, "No, we need to try to stop Thanos now." You know, like, there's all kinds of cool shit they can with this. I love it.
It's 1989.
Okay, so even closer. 1989, and this is possibly in 1983. I love the fact they've done so much to conceal this, though, because they have him in this old van, but that's just, like, I don't know if that's the same old van that he drives around in the movies.
It looks like Luis's van.
Yeah, what if he's like gone to Luis's father and borrowed the same van? Like, this is all possible. Oh, it is God. All very possible.
Oh man. I can't handle it. It's too much.
I love that you hadn't heard that theory, because that's super great. All right. Well, that is rampant speculation time here at the
Marvel. It's not the same van. Oh my God.
Oh, it's not the same van. That's even better.
Hold up. Oh no. Okay. So I'm looking at a picture of when we first saw Luis, when he was at the San Quentin visitors area picking up Scott. It is the same van, but it's not as run down.
Oh, is it not really?
And it's got a bush guard on it.
That's awesome. So it is very possible this is a previous timeline for this van. Or... And here's another theory. The last thing we saw was the time, or the quantum realm portal was in that van. So yep. It's possible that they used the technology in that van to travel it through time. That is another possible answer for why that van is there.
Janet did say, watch out for time vortexes.
Yes, I know. Was it time eddies or vortexes? Was it vortexes?
It was vortexes.
Okay, I had eddies in my head. Yeah, so...
A little stronger.
So that's the thing. So, yeah, like, I think he ran into a time vortex. Maybe he was stuck in there so long he decided that was his only option, and he went through a time vortex and ended up in 1983. And so this is like a recorded message from Scott Lang, probably Peggy Carter, which gives you, like, can't you imagine this scene happens? They get a recorded message from Peggy Carter, Howard Stark, and Scott Lang, and possibly Hank Pym. And then he's standing there thinking about what he's got to do based on the message. And he's like flips open that compass and looks at it because he's like thinking about his girl, you know?
Oh, man.
I love it. I love this theory. We don't know if it's true. That could just be him at the gate. But the fact that it says archive, even if it's not 1983, even if it's a different year, it says archive on it. So,
yeah, that's true. Hold on. I'm looking at the post-credit scene right now from Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah, to see if it's the same van or looks similar.
Okay. So it is a bit more spruced up in... the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's cleaner. They've repainted it and everything. But the important thing from the Avengers Endgame trailer is that in the 2 minute 10 second range, you can see where it says X-Con on the side of the van, like X-Con,
right.
And that's the company name that Luis had for their security company. And it says that on the van, in the, you know, end credit scene.
Right. And that same label, it looks like that same label is on. Yeah. It is on the one in the video as well. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That X-Con label is on the van in the 1983 footage, and it's on the van at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay, so if that is old footage, it looks like they had to time travel the van as well.
Yeah, I think the van would have gone.
Okay, gotcha. So to me, that makes it a little less likely, because I don't know about them using the van as a DeLorean, but although I would love that. I'm real down with time travel that you have to go 88 miles per hour to achieve. So good. So exciting. You know, so exciting.
Oh, my God. See, now I'm going to have to, like, pick apart everything and rewatch all the movies and be like, how is this affected by you know, previous events in 1989 or 1983?
Like, yeah, if this is the case, and I would love for them to have given us all these like little, you know, guideposts and footprints as to what has happened previously that might have led to Scott Lang being Ant-Man. Like, this could have all led to him being Ant-Man. I love it so much. But anyway, that's, again, repping speculation. It's very possible it's just him at the door. So
that's just a theory.
Just a theory.
A movie theory.
All right, guys.
Is that a different series?
That's a different series. That we're not involved, and this was legally dissimilar.
It's just a series. A different series.
All right, guys. Well, we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at MCUcast.com, at MCUcast on Twitter, Facebook.com/MCUcast, MCUcast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU to leave some feedback. If you want to support the cast, go to patreon.com/MCUcast. We've still got a few people who haven't sent in their addresses and such to receive their swag. So if you are one of those, I probably sent you messages or emails. Let us send us your email or your address, and we can send you your swag. I think it's only a few people. I'll try to have that for next week's cast. Maybe I can actually find the list and just read it on the cast, because we are very appreciative to all of you, and we want to give you some swag. If you are interested in just getting some of the swag, because we have a few extra leftover shirts, reach out to us about that. We're doing like one shirt for $25, two shirts for $35, two different designs, and you can get that whenever you like. All right, guys, peace. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Have a good one.
Until next time, true believers.